for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 3rd, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Melvin Creason of Okmulgee, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the morning.
Greetings. We thank the Lord for His goodness, the opportunity of sharing that which we feel that God has given unto us. We began Monday night on this, and we want to continue this morning, and we're talking about the light of God, the light that God spoke into existence in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord. And we just asked this morning that the Lord would grant us grace and to speak, and that the anointing of His Spirit would be upon His Word, and that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that we might know better what God has for His people. Not someday out there, but right here and now. We began, as I said, Monday night, and how many was here Monday night? Okay, how many wasn't here? Okay. Well, we're going to rehearse a little this morning, and the chart that you saw briefly there on the board, we can't get close enough to get it all on there. Well, it's still on there, isn't it? I thought I turned it off. We can't get it all on there, but the important part and all the scriptures is there. Everybody see that? I don't really know how to work that thing, but I know it works better than that. But anyway, we'll do God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. There's a better word for that. If you look this up in your Strong's, it will say that He brooded. It means to brood, as a hen would brood over her chicks. That God moved or brooded over the waters. My, we have to...
Luke 1. The same thing that the Holy Spirit brooded over Mary.
Right.
Verse 4, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to understand, there's a lot of things we skipped the other night, and we have to. We won't get it all today. And as we said, we was on this about 4.5-5 months at home. But at home, we can take it a little at a time, you know. And God kind of gave it to us that way. And I don't know it all, but I want to share some of that which God gave me. Waters, we must understand here, I think to get a vision of what God is doing, of what waters stands for. And we're trying to speak spiritually. And waters has different meanings in different settings. And you have to know the setting to know what water represents. In Ezekiel, when Ezekiel wades out into the water, why, it is obvious as you read that he's talking about the Spirit of God. That he was ankle deep, knee deep to the loins, and waters to swimming. Praise the name of the Lord. My. And it's so sad when you see people who hasn't even got to the water yet. My. And we need to get in the waters. Praise the Lord. In the 14th chapter, I believe it is, of Revelations, there's a great whore there that sits upon many waters.
Revelation 13.
13. Thank you. And as we read on, it makes us to know that these waters are peoples and nations. And in Revelations 12, the dragon spews water out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Because he has been overcome and he's mad at the woman and he wants to destroy her. So he spews water out of her mouth, and what that represents is false doctrine, lies, false doctrine pouring out of his mouth, trying to drown the woman that produced the man child.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now there's a man child coming. The man child is not Jesus,
no,
but it is the Christ.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And out of the womb of the woman is birthed the man child. And I believe Brother Dale was speaking. Wasn't that a wonderful, powerful word that Brother Dale brought?
Amen.
My, it's wonderful. But out of the womb of the woman comes a man-child, praise the Lord, and it was full-grown or fully mature. Don't mean that it was made that way all at once, for there's 9 months in the gestation period. But when it is manifested, as the Son. When he was manifested, he was a full 30 years old.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He met all the requirements of the law. And he was a full 30 years old when he manifested himself. When this man child is manifested, he'd be walking in full authority. Praise the name of the Lord. He comes forth out of the womb of the woman, and this makes the dragon mad, and so the dragon wants to destroy the woman. Now, we haven't seen the woman manifested yet. Brother Dale said last night, and he said it Monday night, I believe, that we haven't even produced what the early church, and that's the church in its baby stage, produced. Yet we see a woman here, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, crown of 12 stars upon her head. My, you can get a vision of that. You see a beautiful picture of a mature church functioning in the light of God and under divine authority. Amen?
Yes.
And then she produces a man child. But anyway, what we're trying to give you a picture here of explanation of what water stands for. Let me repeat this that I said the other night. These five verses here, and maybe a lot more than that, but we're dealing with the five verses. They are not only a historical word. We do not question the historical truth of these words. We establish them, we accept them, we embrace them. In the beginning, God created. and the earth was without form and void. But we see more than just a historical word here. We see a prophetic word. And some people don't accept this. That's okay. Maybe in time. I believe that God foreknew some things. Amen? And there's different ideas about that. But for God to put this in writing. Now, I heard a man say, and it was good. He talked about Moses seeing, asking God to let him see him, you know. And God took him into the mountains and passed before him, and he seen his hinder parts. Or he seen God from the beginning. Amen? Backward, forward. Therefore, he could write these things, for no doubt this is what Moses saw. He saw God in his creative act, bringing into existence the things that were not. Amen. And God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. In the beginning, God stood out there. John starts the same place Genesis starts. He said, in the beginning, somewhere out there in the eons of time, and before there was time, actually, God stood up there on a foundation of nothing. And out of nothing, he created something. Amen. And the creation is, that shouldn't be an argument. That's an established fact as far as we're concerned. God created. But the earth, now he says the earth was without form and void, and this is a foreknowledge of that God sees down through the ages of things that is going to come to pass. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Again, the deep, it speaks of seas or water. And water speaks of people.
Yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. God is speaking here when he speaks of him brooding or hovering or moving upon the water. He's speaking of people. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Again, we refer back to Monday. Darkness is the absence of light, and spiritually it means people who know not and understand not spiritual truths. People who are spiritually ignorant, or maybe you like illiterate better. But Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant.
Right. That's what Paul
said. It is God's desire to enlighten us and to give us light.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal a secret to you. How did Paul know it? Because he stood in the light of the everlasting God. And he understood it.
Right.
He understood the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, and God moved upon the face of the waters. He hovered over the people. My. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
Right.
That happened. But it was an ensample, if you please, or an example of that God was going to do. Folks, there's very few of us, if any of us, there's not any of us, I don't believe, fully understands what happened to us when Christ came into our life. But we're beginning to understand. Line upon line and precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little. When you teach and you preach and the anointing of God is great, and then you go home. Then you know, I don't know about everybody, but much of the time, after I've preached, that word is still working in me.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you go home. I preached in Riverdale, Kansas one night. Such a outpouring of the Spirit was there. And me and the wife was going to go home after service. And it was late when we got out. And wife said, "You think you can go to sleep tonight?" And I said, "I think so. It takes us 3 hours to drive home. I thought in 3 hours I'd be unwound and ready to go to sleep." Got home about 2:30 in the morning, went in and went to bed, laid down and relaxed, and the Word started working. And I told you the other night that what we wanted to make plain was what the light of God was. We wanted to make that one point. And when I got down to my room, laid down in my bed, the Word began to work, and I hadn't even brought the main scripture that I intended to tell you what the light of God is. See? Let me share that scripture with you, and then we will proceed on here. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. The main verse is verse 6. I want to read 7 verses here this morning. And we'll just go till we run out of time and we'll quit. Amen? It said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," listen, now this is, the God of this world has a job, and he's doing it well.
Right.
"The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not," amen, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus the Lord, "and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," listen, "hath shined," where?
"In our hearts."
Where?
"In our hearts."
Did everybody say? In our hearts. In our innermost being.
Yes, yes.
When did he do this? Some glad day over yonder?
No, sir.
In the sweet by and by?
No, sir.
When we cross Jordan's, what on Jordan's chilly banks our stand? No. He said he hath,
yes,
shined in our hearts. Say, he has shined in my heart.
He has shined in my heart.
Glory. You believe it?
Yes.
What did he shine? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man. I told Brother Bill a while ago, I said, "I got to go get me a handkerchief." I ran off and forgot my handkerchief. And I hadn't locked my room since I've been here. I didn't think there's any need of it. Didn't think there's any need of it this morning, but I locked my room. And I went down there and the key wouldn't go in the hole. So I used a paper towel. Praise the Lord. It got good.
Yes.
Oh, what's the light then? The light is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I just took one little thing at a time at home and went through this, and we'd spend about an hour to an hour and 15, 20 minutes on each little thing. And so here, this is the reason we contrast this light with the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars. This light is God. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill. It is God. See, there was darkness on the face of the deep. God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
That was the light of God revealing Himself to His creation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Is that close?
Yes, sir.
My. And again, we have to say, it was more for our day than it was for that day. But it was an ensample or an example of that God was going to bring to pass in His appointed time.
Amen.
Glory. Well, you know, God has some appointed time.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
Glory. Oh, my. Now, how do we get... Okay, let's just start here. You see... two half circles in a circle, right? And these, each half circle and the full circle represents an era of time, and all of them together, I guess, represents time. Somebody said last night, isn't it strange how from generation to generation they come up with new phrases? And when they went to putting rockets into orbit, why, they began to speak of a window of time. And see, if they have a certain area there, and probably, I don't know much about it, if anything, but there's a certain area, if they're going to land in Florida, and they've got so many seconds to hit that area so that they have a window of time that they must come in to make the landing at Cape Kennedy. Or if they land in California, they have to back up. And they have to do it in a different place. But they got just a certain length of time or they're going to overshoot their target. Today is our day.
Amen.
This is our
Amen.
Window of time.
Yes, sir.
And let me explain here, if I understand time, time is a little space in God's eternity. Now, I don't know how long time will be. I know when it ends for you and I. Well, really, time ended for you and I when Christ came into our life.
That's right.
Amen. Now, the old man is numbered. Amen. If God don't change this body, it's just got so much time. But I'm an eternal being.
Amen. Amen.
I entered into eternity. But I yet don't comprehend eternity. It's too big for me, and I'm still wearing this thing on my shoulders. And the finite mind cannot comprehend infinity.
Right, right.
I used to work with an instrument, son. You could read a tape set up on the end of a platform into the thousandths of an inch. And when you begin to adjust it to see, it called it infinity. You could adjust that thing and you could see that tape. But I might not could, standing where the tape was, I couldn't even read it. A measuring tape, you know what I'm talking about, measuring tape. I thought I better make that. I'm not talking about masking tape. we were building shipping platforms for the wings of the threshold of the 747 airplane. And that when you got that wing, especially that what they call the leading edge of the wing, when you got it built, it had to be held within thousands of an inch to ship it from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Washington, Everett, Washington, isn't it, where Boeing is. And it was shipped on rail cars, mostly. And we built these things to set in rail cars, and they held it, and I'm getting away from what I want to talk about here. But you had to build them to a close tolerance, so it took an instrument to see it. My, I better go on. I can stay on that a while, but I'll go. God looks at time. We're talking about time. Time is that little space, however long that it is, that is set into God's eternity. And that's our time. That's where we're at. That's what I didn't draw that with that in mind. Let me tell you how God gave that to me. We went to Brother Bill's convention, March. And we came in that evening, afternoon, unloaded our clothes, and I was walking down the hall, and Brother Bill came up to me and told me, asked me, I believe he said, it's yours tonight.
I said, don't you shell the corn tonight?
Yeah, something like that. And I said, okay. And I've been preaching this for 3 months at home. And I'm aware, you know how you become aware of things? That people is not seeing what I'm seeing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I'd like to draw a picture so that they could see what I'm talking about. And I'd made this statement several times, and when Brother Bill asked me to minister, I said, you got a chalkboard? And he said, yeah. And we went up there, and I didn't have nothing drawn. Now, you know. And he took me back and showed me his chalkboard and showed me where the chalk was. And I said, well, I probably won't need it tonight. And so when service began, the wife and I walked up. Our room was down underneath the auditorium. We walked up the stairs, walked in, walked down, sitting three or four rows back in the pews there. And I stepped aside, and the wife stepped in, and I started to step in. And when I stepped in, I saw it. And I told the wife, I see it. I know what I want. But I didn't have time to draw it then. But the Lord didn't want it right then. We went ahead and ministered. And a day or two later, Brother Bill asked me to share again. And I went up and I drew it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
On his chalkboard.
Yes, sir.
The full size of the chalkboard.
It's still there. We just turned the board around.
And so when I went to Kansas, there was a young lady up there. I asked her if she could put that on a transparency for me. First, I asked for a chalkboard, and they didn't have nothing but a little bitty one, and you can't see it from back in the back. And I said, can you put it on a transparency? And she said, yes. And I drew it out on a sheet of paper, and she, with her computer, done this for me. And I appreciate that so much. I tell you, I was just amazed when I looked at it.
Sister Vicki?
No, Sister Debbie.
Oh,
Now, here we go. I'm going to explain it to you. Praise the Lord. With the help of the Lord. In the beginning, this is the beginning, right? The earth was without form and void. Everybody see it? We need to move that. Just move it out of the way somewhere. We can do with that. Now you got it in front of Brother Miller. Oh, praise the Lord. God said, now, let me say this again. These circles, the half circles and the big circle, all represents eras of time. These are not dispensations, but there was dispensations within these circles. And we're not ministering on the dispensations. This was the beginning. This is when God's creative act began. And out here is eternity, and out there is eternity. And God began His creation, and here He called the light into existence, and He done His 6 days of creation in here, and He brought forth man. Amen? Now, man fell. And things happened when he fell. Not only did his nature change, but he left his first estate. Adam was created in the light of God, and that's the reason that he was given dominion over God's creation. And when he was created in the light of God, he had the understanding of God. Amen. And every son must be tried, and God proved this with Adam when He had him name the cattle, the beast of the field. And it says in there that Adam called them what they were.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now this all gets too big. You just can't do it. God created every animal and vegetable and everything after its kind. Meaning that God had a preconceived understanding of what He wanted to create. He had a pattern. He made him a blueprint, if you pardon, and he produced an animal or a species after that order or that kind. And when Adam named them, he called them what they were.
Yes. Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
No, you didn't get it.
Yes, sir.
How many got it?
Amen.
Okay. You see, when a scientist discovers a new species, they take that thing apart. And they study its habits. And they look at how it's constructed, what it eats. And then they give it a name. And isn't it strange they give it a name in a language that nobody talks anymore? And they call it, usually in that name, they call it what it is. If you understood what that name is, you'd know I'm thinking of a gun. I was in service. And to every piece, they call a gun a piece. I'm calling them a gun. And to every piece, there was a nomenclature. And if you knew that nomenclature, you knew what that weapon was, how it operated, what made it operate. I had an M1 rifle, if I can remember right quick. It was a semi-automatic, gas, clip-fed, gas-operated. I don't know if that's all of it or not. 30 caliber rifle. That meant that it shot a 30 caliber bullet. That what operated that rifle was the gas pressure. When the bullet exploded, the pressure from the gas operated it, made it work. And once it worked, it was ready to shoot again. It was semi-automatic. The gas pressure ejected the hull and fed in another bullet and set the rifle to shoot again, and there was a clip on the bottom of it which would hold either 11 or 30 or 50. You could get different size clips, and it would feed it. When a scientist names a species, the name that they give it explains what that animal was.
Amen.
Or is.
Amen.
And when Adam named the animals, the mind of God was at work in Adam. And he called those animals what they were. He called them, that is what they were. My, that's a long ways from what we're trying to preach today, but it's good anyway. Adam had to be proved, is what we're saying. And God proved him that he was in his image and his likeness. That's the reason God could come down in the garden and talk with him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you can't fellowship with somebody if you don't understand them.
Right.
See, you've got to fellowship, see. Spiritually or naturally. See, I've got brothers in the Lord that don't understand me.
That's right.
So if we're going to have fellowship, I speak their language. I know what it is to be saved. I know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I know what it is to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And wherever they're at in this, if they're saved and babies, man, you know, I went down and fed the children yesterday. Man, it's been 30 years since I've talked to the kids a few times through those years, but 30 years since I taught kids. And that bothered me a lot worse than and shelling the corn. Amen. And I told Crystal, I said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you when I went down there I didn't have nothing. She said, yes, I would. And I thought, well, did I do that bad? I thought it was pretty good. But when I got down there, and I began to talk. I just walked up there, and I began to talk to him. And pretty soon, there came a flow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I fed them where they lived. I did my best to speak their language. But there's one thing that I've never done as I taught kids. I've never talked baby talk to them.
No, sir. No, sir.
And I've seen so many teachers get up and start talking baby talk, you know. I mean, change their voice. Now, I'm not condemning that. That might be much better than what I do. I'm just telling you what I do. I just talked to them. And God anointed it, blessed it. Praise the Lord. Oh, now, okay. Adam could fellowship with God. So God came and walked with him in the garden.
Cool of the day.
Said, Enoch walked yes. with God.
Yes, sir.
Walked means he lived habitually.
Yeah.
And with means fellowship.
And forward motion.
Praise the Lord. If I can sit by you and not be with you.
That's right.
I can take a walk with you and there can be no fellowship. We can be living in a different realm. But Adam, God walked with Adam. God walked with Enoch. This is amazing. Not only, God can interpret our baby talk all right. But if we're not with him, we won't understand what he talks.
Amen.
And see, I've missed God more this way than any other way. And I've so many times I have heard the voice of the Lord and just thought it was my thinking. And it went on a few days, and then all of a sudden, I got, oh my God, that was the Lord, and I didn't know it.
Amen.
We're not getting verse 4. Adam bore the image and nature of God. He understood. Light, part of the meaning of light is understanding. Cheerfulness, happiness, joy, knowledge. Knowing, Adam knew God, and when Adam fell, see, we've got a overlapping of these circles. Now I want to explain to you why I did that. There was evening and there was morning. There is two twilight zones to every day or every night, whichever way you want to term it. But one of them, the sun is going down. And the other is coming up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And with every dispensation, there is invariably a lapping over. It never, but maybe with Adam it ended abruptly. But in every other dispensation, when it moves from one dispensation to another, you will see an overlapping of the old and the new. This is, I think, part of the character of God, because there is no end or no beginning.
Right.
I just had it in my spirit to tell you, there was a tearing of the, rinsing of the veil when Jesus died, and that ended your sacrifice.
Yes.
That was abrupt.
The act was abrupt. When the blood was shed and the veil was rent,
yes,
that was done instantaneously. But the dispensation of the law, as far as God was concerned, it ended there. But as far as man's concerned, it's still going on.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, brother. The darkness didn't leave.
Right.
It left for those who received the light.
Right, right.
And where the light is not, there is darkness. Oh, God, this just gets too big. I started to say something there, but it's kind of out of place right now. So, let me jump. Adam lost the image and likeness of God.
Yes, he did.
And the sun began to go down, so to speak. Now, let me explain that again.
The earthly man.
God's light never stopped. But man turned from God's light.
Right.
Yep. And the first evidence we see of this is in Cain. That is the first manifestation of the fleshly nature, or the beast nature, is in Cain. He left. You know, isn't it amazing? When he disobeyed God, God put him out of Eden. He said, it's more than I can bear.
Yeah. He wandered in Nod.
And God sent him wandering in Nod.
In Nod, yes.
And Nod means wandering.
Yes, it does.
And he built him a city.
Yeah.
And what he was doing when he built that city, he was trying to recapture what he had in the presence of God. God put him out of his presence, and he went walking actually in darkness, wandering. If we had time to minister on stars, see, take me long time to minister on the stars, but there's three kinds of stars. And I never have ministered on two of them. I just ministered on the stars of heaven, both naturally and spiritually, and mostly spiritually. But there is wandering stars, and there is fallen stars, the stars of heaven.
Amen.
Glory. Okay, Adam fell, and the twilight, the light begins to get dimmer. The light isn't getting dimmer But man loved darkness more than he did light. So he withdrew himself from the light. Until, you know, when Enoch come along, tell me, Bill, right quick, what Enoch's father's name was there.
Lamech?
No, I don't believe that's right. Whatever his name was, I'll tell you what it means. It means a declining. It means going down.
Methuselah?
No, his father. Who begot Enoch? Jared. Jared begot Enoch, and that means a declining or a going down. And if you just stop and think that, see, God had already seen the mess that man had got in. And somewhere in there, man had got so far from God that God sent Enoch. And he prophesied. It don't say that he said anything, but he prophesied. Amen? The Word says he prophesied.
Jude 14.
Enoch prophesied. And the way he prophesied is he had a son whose name was Methuselah. And there's different opinions of what this means. One that I have always thought was right was, when he is gone, it shall be sent.
Yes, sir. The sign. When he's
Methuselah.
Gone.
That was the sign. That God was going to deal with the man. And in the self same year, if you want to figure up the years there, you'll find in the year that Methuselah died, God sent the flood.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
969 years after Enoch named him Methuselah, the flood came and God dealt with the mess. Now, what do we got? We got darkness upon the face of the deep.
Yes, sir.
There is a people. Oh, there's a world of people here. My God, not too far from the creation of Adam that is walking in total darkness. They have no spiritual understanding. And for almost 4,000 years, man walked in darkness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But God never left man without a light.
That's right.
First, he left man the sun, the moon, and the natural stars. And these all have spiritual meanings also. Just a quick thought on the stars. Jacob, in Jacob's dream, the father was the sun, the mother was the moon, and Jacob's offsprings were stars. And they bowed down to Joseph. Amen? And a star, for as far back as history goes, the stars was used for a guide. They were a guiding light to guide men through the night, or people. See, you can't follow the moon at night because it's moving so fast that in just a little while you're going in a different direction. But you can get your eye on a star. And a star is to guide you from one place to the other until the sun rises. Isn't that beautiful? And God sent his stars. And you know what his stars was? They were the holy men and women of God. The holy prophets. The holy priests. Now, see, we had priests that wasn't holy.
Right, right.
The holy kings. We had kings that wasn't holy. We had prophets that wasn't holy. But the holy prophets, the holy priests, and the holy kings were stars guiding, and their message ever guided a people, not to themselves, but to the dawning of a new day.
Amen.
When the sun would shine again. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And then John chapter 1 verse 9 said, this is that true light.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. This is the true light.
Yes,
everything up to this day has only been a type and a shadow, but this is the true light.
Yes, sir.
My God. Woo! I tell you, John said a little further over, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Yes,
man, he made the announcement. The light is come. The Lamb is here. The day is dawning. Zechariah first made the announcement that the day was going to spring. That is the twilight. Oh, God. That is the dawning of the new day. From Zechariah, Luke 1, 5 through 25, to Acts 2, 1 through 47. That was the dawning of the day. It was getting lighter and lighter and lighter. Now, where do we go? I want to see. Jesus was made of a woman. That's what torch is. Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Though Jesus walked the face of the earth for 33 and a half years, history has it. The world that he walked in was walking in darkness. Now he was light.
Yes, he was.
But the darkness didn't comprehend the light.
Right.
It couldn't lay hold of it. And in John, I think it is. Let me see if I can find it right quick here. My Lord. Oh, my. Got too many. John said in John, let's see. Okay. In Matthew 10:27. You want to turn over there, somebody, right quick? Matthew 10:27. Right.
And what you hear in the ear, that preacher be upon the housetop.
Yes. Everybody hear that?
No. So what I tell you in darkness, that speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preacher be upon the housetop.
Now, it has often bothered me what the Lord was talking about when he said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. Everything that Jesus told those apostles and the and his followers, he told them in darkness.
Yes, he did.
It was under the law, and the sun hadn't come up yet. He was speaking to them in darkness. He said, now I'm talking to you in darkness. And what I tell you in this darkness, you're going to speak it in light.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, they couldn't speak it till the light came.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, from Zechariah to Pentecost was the twilight zone.
Right.
That was the dawning of the new day. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire. What's fire? Light. You that was here the other night, and we read to you the definition of light from the Hebrew. One of them was lightning, fire, and flames of fire. The King James says tongues of fire. A tongue of fire is a flame. The flames of fire, the tongues of fire, licked up the water that Elijah poured on the ground. And tongues of fire set upon them. And God filled them with His Spirit. And almost momentarily, Peter stood up and said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Yes.
What's happened? Light has
thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And the scripture that he once knew, the logo that he once knew, now becomes the rhema in the light of the glory of God.
The living.
Woo! Somebody shout.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
The living.
Give him a big hand. Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. And we keep looking for a city that don't need the sun and the moon.
That's right.
No artificial light whatsoever.
Oh, Lord. Nothing is needed there.
No, sir.
For the Lamb,
yes, the light.
Is the light.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And every, I don't care if it's high noon and you don't have the Lord in your life, you're walking in darkness.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care how intellectual you might be, how many college degrees you might have, and all that is wonderful. But if it's not lit by the candle of the Lord, it is darkness.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wish I had two more hours. Let us pursue. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, the light of life. The life was the light of men, which lighteth every man. Some people have a ball with that. Now, the only people that's lighted by it is those that comes to the light. Every person is not lit automatically.
Right.
Those that comes to the light receives the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. My, Matthew 5, isn't it? Jesus speaking there said, you, speaking to his followers.
5:14.
Yeah. He said, you are the light of the world. Is that what he said? A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Well, what's he saying? They weren't the light of the world right then. But again, the eternal God is speaking, and he calls those things which be not as though they were. He had called them and ordained them, and he said, you are the light of the world. And they had no idea what he was saying. Didn't have a clue. Why? Because they're living in darkness. They're living in another realm. Another dimension. He was living up here. He said, where I am, there you may be also. And they said, well, we've seen him caught up to heaven, so we're going to go up there and walk on streets of gold with him. Someday we'll get to go and be with the Lord. No, he said, where I am.
Well, we're the streets.
Where I am. He making a way that where he was living, his relationship with the Father, that we could have also.
Amen.
Amen. My. Okay. We just almost skipped the darkness. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened in darkness, and then we're going to do something else, if we got a minute or two. In that darkness, God is sending his we just mentioned it, and we're just going to mention this morning. Speaking of the sun, the moon, and the stars, he said they shall be for signs and for seasons. Don't get that mixed up with your calendar or the zodiacal sign.
Right.
And through this darkness, he is giving signs and seasons. Let me tell you, that shouldn't have never been translated season. In that place, anyway. It should have been translated appointed times. For God has some appointments.
Amen.
With
amen. Amen.
And one of those appointments was recorded in Galatians and Luke and all the Gospels. in the fullness of time,
yeah,
in that appointed time, God sent forth His Son in due season. In the proper time and the proper season, God performed His wonders. All of these is God revealing Himself unto a fallen mankind. Oh, man, let's go back. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And John cried out, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. One place it tells us about a lot of lights that have come, claiming to be something, but it wasn't long. See, a person's works reveals him. It manifests who he is. And it wasn't long till they weren't no more. Now, we're about out of time here, so let me read you something that the Lord gave me. I wanted to go over to the city. Think we got time enough to do that? Let's go to Revelation 21. Do it. Do it. Okay. We can do it. Praise the Lord. I just want to read this briefly. We'll not do much preaching on it, I don't think. But in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 21, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Oh, now what's he going to show him?
Going to show the wife.
Come on. Everybody. What's he going to show him?
The city.
The bride.
The city.
The bride, the Lamb's wife.
Yes, sir.
Is that what he's going to show him?
Yeah.
So he carried me away in the spirit. Amen. And he showed me a city. Know ye not that you are a city
set
up on a hill which cannot be hid? Amen. Like the water speaks of people, the city speaks of God's people.
Amen.
And he showed me a city. Now, let's go over to verse 22. And he describes the city here. And in verse 22, John said, now the city is the bride, the Lamb's wife. But John saw it in the shape of a city. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He saw a city with walls around it, four square, as high as it was long as it was wide. That's what he saw. He saw a city. But the city was the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he said, I looked into the city. Now, I'll put that in there. But that's what happened. And I saw an old temple there. Okay. Now, everybody knows what the temple was.
Yeah.
Had two dimensions with an outer court, three dimensions in it. Said, I saw an old temple there. That's where the animals was brought, sacrificed daily, where the incense was burned. The showbread was put on the table fresh every day. Amen. He said, I didn't see no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. That sounds to me like an end to religiosity, doesn't it? Amen. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine it in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Let me briefly tell you something. Now, I'm going to read this. I said this the other night, but I feel we should say it again. That this does not say that the sun and the moon wasn't shining. And I think we have to take that in the text that we have been ministering, that the sun and the moon and the stars were types of the glory of God or the light of God that shined in the beginning. And all this, nearly 4,000 years, man has depended upon those types and shadows that was bringing him closer and closer to the dawning of the new day. And he said they had no need of the sun or of the moon. They had no need of the types and shadows anymore. Now, don't run with that, folks. Too many people's done that. We need types and shadows until God brings us into His fullness. We need gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Everybody I know is still in a parts realm.
That's right.
And we need those parts.
Yes, we do.
We need the gifts of tongues and interpretation. We need the gifts of prophecy. My, we need the psalms, the hymns. But there, he said, and I'm not pointing over yonder somewhere. Honey, the city is alive and well.
Amen.
And the light of God is shining.
Amen.
In the city of God.
Yes, sir.
My, but we haven't been aware of that. Brother Dale said we've been bewitched. See, the enemy hath blinded their eyes. See, if the enemy can keep you thinking that some glad day over there, he's got you where he wants you. You will be ineffective in the kingdom of God, and you won't give him any trouble. But as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. You noticed I punctuated that a little different, don't you? The King James says, and every other rendering I've ever read, said, walk in the light as He is in the light. But if we read two verses up, it says, God is light. God isn't in the light. He is light.
That's right.
And if you walk in the light as He is, in the light, we're going to quit fussing and fighting and feuding and trying to outshine somebody else. Amen. And the glory of God will shine in our hearts and lives. Let me read. I'll quit. Two great lights. God made two great lights. The sun to rule or govern the day. Someday I'm going to understand that fully. And the moon to rule or govern the night. The sun superseded the moon so much that the moon and stars cannot be seen in the light of the shining sun. Amen? Did you get that? The sun is so brilliant. Now, sometimes you can get a glimpse of the moon, but it's just there. It's like some folks built a house out there on the prairie where I live. And it's sort of a light brownish looking building. And it's just there. It's like adobe hut in the desert. It's just there, but it's blah. You know. My, you can see the moon out there. Sometimes just a little image of it. But it's just there. And its work's going to come tonight. When the sun goes down. Amen. But the sun supersedes the light of the moon and the stars so much that you can't see them when the sun's shining. Right? The moon, which governed the night, was saying all the time that it was shining, that the day is coming. The day is going to come. Because it bore, reflected the light of the sun. That's what Israel was supposed to do. They were supposed to reflect the light of God in a darkened world. And they was declaring to the world, not by their religious doings, but by them being who they were and being what God wanted them to be, they were saying that the day is coming. It was just a small reflection of the light. The moon only reflects the light of the sun, which is only a type of the true light of God. Amen. And the sun superseded the moon and the stars so that they cannot be seen for the brightness of the sun, as the sun, supersedes the moon and the stars, so they cannot be seen for the brightness of the sun. Even so does the light of God supersede the light of the sun. And all the light of the moon and stars, and all the light, the intellect, knowledge of man, everything, all light in every sense of the word is made dim or made to pale and to disappear from sight in the light of the glory of the Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. The light that God spoke into existence in Genesis verses 1 through 5 outshines not only the sun, the moon, and the stars, but every religion and every false god that man has ever invented. God bless you. Woo! Hallelujah!
You know, I don't know if you thought of it, but your circles there, you see, you got two that are open.
Yes.
So from this end, there's eternity.
Yes.
And on the other end, there's eternity.
Right.
I thought of that the minute I saw the open circles. Eternity without end.
I didn't know that when I drew it. I just drew what I saw.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to explain it, I saw it. Eternity past.
Yes.
Eternity future.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Knowing you can't tell the beginning from the end.
That's
hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
And when Christ stepped into your life, hallelujah, you stepped into eternity.
Woo!
Glory! I must no longer drift around within thine own self. Yea, I have called thee, and I have destined for thee, and I have permission unto thee. Yea, I have given unto thee, yea, even the right this day, yea, to become the sons of God. Will thou arise and jump over the hurdle that come thine way? Yea, to turn thee around and turn thee back. Yea, will thou speak unto the mountain, and will thou see them go underfoot? But yea, know thou this, thou must no longer be a drifter, but I have called and commissioned thee, yea, to be a possessor of me, saith thy God. Yea, I have much land before thee, and much experience before thee, if thou will arise this day, and yea, and put everything underfoot, and yea, move over the hurdles, and yea, I will lead thee, I will guide thee, and direct thee into all truth, if thou wilt follow thou after me. And yea, I will gird up thy loins, if thou wilt listen unto me, and thou wilt follow into the place that I have destined thee to walk therein, saith thy God.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
You have heard a word of the Lord this morning.
and take it to heart. And I want to pose one question before you. For every person in here, and it's your question. What do you require of the Lord this day? What do you, as an individual, require of your Lord today? He'll answer that requirement. He knows it even before you ask it.
And yea, even as thou hast beheld within the book, and yea, thou didst see the true trumpets of silver, yea, the one was for the gathering of the assembly, and yea, the other was for the journeying on. And yea, I have called thee together, but now I'm calling unto thee to journey on. Yea, I have many things that set before thee. If thou wilt enter in, they shall become thine. But thou must no longer gaze upon them, but yea, thou must partake of. And yea, even this is meeting that I brought thee from many directions. Know thou this, that thou must not return home in the manner that thou did come here. But thou must go home another way, not another road, but yea, another place in thy God. So this is the day that I'm calling thee aside, yea, to move forward in me, saith thy God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.